Peter approached Jesus and asked him, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive? As many as 7 times?" Jesus answered, "I say to you, not 7 times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property, in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, 'Be patient with me. I will pay you back in full.' Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized one of his fellow servants and started to choke him, demanding, 'Pay back what you owe.' Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?' Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. And so will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We've been hearing a lot of St. Peter these last weeks. We first heard him give his statement of faith about who Jesus was. Jesus rewarded him with the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Then the following week, St. Peter was dressed down by Jesus, calling him Satan, because he was thinking as human beings think, not as God thinks. And then we come to today's gospel. I always like to try to put myself into the characters of the readings that we have. And I just kind of imagine St. Peter is probably approaching Jesus, thinking to himself, "Well, you know, the Mosaic law just says we have to forgive someone 3 times. So I'm going to show Jesus that I'm kind of getting what he's teaching. And I'll go more than double that. I'll suggest maybe 7 times just to show him that I understand what he's been saying." Imagine his shock and disappointment when Jesus came back and says, "No, not 7 times, but 77 times. Well and beyond what even St. Peter thought he would say. But before we look at the rest of that gospel passage, I think that our first reading sets up things for that parable quite nicely. So from Sirach we hear, "Wrath and anger are hateful things, yet the sinner hugs them tight." Isn't that the truth? We know that vengeance and irrational anger against someone is not something we should be doing. And yet, if someone hurts us, it almost feels good to hold on to that anger. It almost feels good to hold back our forgiveness, trying to hold it over that other person. The sinner hugs them tight. He goes on to say, the vengeful will suffer the Lord's vengeance, for he remembers their sins in detail. I think what the prophet is saying is that it's one thing to sin, but if we now are seeking vengeance against another, we will suffer the Lord's vengeance. That is a sin that he will definitely remember and judge us for. And he goes on to say, forgive your neighbor's injustice. Then when you pray, your own sins will be forgiven. So when we hear that, forgive your neighbor's injustice, we're talking about someone who has betrayed us, someone who has harmed us, someone who has hurt us. But we're asked to forgive. We're asked to forgive so that when we pray to God, our own sins will be forgiven. Could anyone nourish anger against another and expect healing from the Lord? Does it make sense for us to continue to seek vengeance of another? Does it make sense for us to continue to hold on to anger from another and expect healing from the Lord? Expect to be made whole again. Another way of putting the word healing. Can anyone refuse mercy to another like himself? Can he seek pardon for his own sins? Sirach is reminding us that, you know, we do not have the power to forgive our own sins. Only God can forgive us. So, God is the one who forgives, and we are recipients of that great mercy. So now we move into that parable we heard in today's gospel. We have a servant who's been called in front of his master. He owes such a huge debt, he could never think of repaying it. The master decides, you know what? I will just sell you and the rest of your family into slavery. I will take charge of all your possessions in partial payment of that debt. Well, the servant falls to his knees, pleading with the master, just give me some more time so that I can repay you. The truth of the matter is, the kind of debt that they're talking about, there's not enough time in the whole world. But the master does something unexpected. The master doesn't just say, okay, I'll give you another week, another month, another year. Instead, he says, out of compassion, I forgive your whole debt. The slate is now wiped clean. An unpayable debt has been forgiven. What a marvelous, marvelous gift that servant has received. But does he recognize that? Does he truly understand what he has received? I would say his actions show he does not. For he goes out, leaving the master's presence, and comes across a fellow servant who owes just a small portion of the debt that he was just forgiven of. And he demands that repayment from that servant. Well, that servant is pleading for him. Please, give me some time. And the one who had just experienced the greatest act of mercy says no. Throws that fellow servant into jail until he pays that small debt to him. He truly did not understand what he had been given. He truly did not allow being a beneficiary of such a merciful act. He did not allow it to make a difference on his own heart. Instead, he walked away from that encounter of compassion and mercy, still selfish, still wanting to seek out his own interest, and thus take it out on that fellow servant. My dear friends, that servant is us. Too many times we forget what God has done for us. Too many times we forget how gracious, how merciful, how loving he has been to us. Because after all, as a human family, we had an unpayable debt. We had a debt that no one of us or even the whole human family could ever repay. And yet God said, I'm going to send my son to die for you. That is what it took to pay that unbearable debt. Jesus climbing on the cross and giving up his life for our salvation. That is what we have experienced. And when we truly understand the gift of mercy and love and compassion that we have received, it should make a difference in our heart. It should make us less self-centered. It should make us selfless. And it should prompt us to forgive anyone who has hurt us. But as I said, too many times we forget. We don't truly appreciate what God has done to us. And we take it out on our neighbor who has done some sort of an injustice, some sort of a betrayal against us. But their sin against us is just a small portion of what God had forgiven the whole human family. My dear friends, as we continue this celebration of the Eucharist, it's an opportunity once again to remind us how much God loves us, how much he has done already for us by the sacrifice of his Son on the cross. The Son of God was willing to die for us to pay that unpayable debt, and the Holy Spirit was willing to take up residence in our hearts to remind us time and time again, we are loved by God, and we should respond to that love by showing love, mercy, and compassion to our neighbor. This is what God expects of his adopted sons and daughters. And through the grace of the sacraments, may we do so.